The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or, what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of Christ. Lord God, open our eyes to see you, our hearts to know you, and our arms to welcome you. Amen. This is not going to be on the test, but if somebody says, "How many ways are there to interpret a parable?" The answer is always millions. Millions, yes. There is no exhausting the possible interpretations of parables. And it's meant to be that way, which made Jesus not only a good teacher, but a wonderful preacher. Because he plants these seeds in hearts, and in some hearts they take root, and in some hearts they're not ready. But there's a typical interpretation for the parables that we heard today. The parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. The most common interpretation is that God is the searcher, and we are the ones that are lost. That after losing one sheep, who wouldn't leave the 99 and go search out the one? Well, if I was one of the 99, I might be a little concerned, but okay. And then the question for me comes up, did God lose someone? God had 100 sheep, and God lost one of the sheep. Okay. And then the repenting notion that when the sheep is found and the shepherd casts the sheep on his shoulders, can God's search for us be dependent upon our ability or choice for repentance? In other words, is God just waiting for us to repent and holding off God's mercy, God's love to us, until we do? The woman with 10 coins often is interpreted as God losing one of us, one of 10. And I wonder, does this mean that God has limited resources? That God has only 10 coins in God's purse, and if you lose one, you've lost 10% of your net worth? Upon finding that coin, God rejoices and invites friends and neighbors. Does God have friends and neighbors? I'm just raising questions. Just raising questions. And any interpretation is going to do that too. I'm going to offer one here momentarily, and it should raise a lot of questions as well. But I'd like to turn it around a little bit. What if we are the seekers and God is what we search for? It's a difficult search. It's a demanding search, searching for God. Sometimes searching is blind, like a sheep with a bucket on her head. But God is never far from us. God cannot lose us. It is we who lose sight of God. We lose the importance of the search. We who lose connection with the divine by replacing God with self, with drugs or alcohol, with possessions, with shopping, or with the pursuit for certainty, with want. We can run our lives wanting for something that is not God. Again, for certainty, for comfort, for the illusion of a risk-free life. But God is waiting for us with open arms all the time, asking us to replace want with search, to be on a journey to find what really matters in life. This second interpretation that I offer of this parable leads me to believe that the longing in my heart for the face of God and for fulfillment in life is found in the searching. Searching always for purpose, for meaning. And that we displace the self to make room for the other. When it comes to finding human purpose, we are driven by two competing forces: want and search. Wanting is the drive to fulfill an emotional need with comfort and illusion. It's driven by desire for pleasure, avoidance, and certainty again. Seeking, on the other hand, is a conscious decision to embark on a lifelong task of being curious, of searching for the single key that fits into the God-shaped hole that exists in all of us, and guarding it from the temptation to replace it again with me, with want. That temptation endures for life. St. Augustine wrote, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, O God." A call not to an outcome, but to a lifetime of keeping tidy that God-shaped room in our hearts, for we can lose that connection again at any moment. That great song we sing, never enough in my opinion, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," it reminds us that we are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Nowhere was this battle between want and search made clearer to me than in my work with drug addicts. Addicts showed up at our clinic because they were caught up in the death spiral of wanting, pursuing, buying, using, and then detoxing from drugs. They had spent their lives trying to fill that God space with physical things, with chemicals, and personal comfort or escape. That spiritual battle was at its height in the lives of heroin addicts that I met in those years, whose search for God, a higher power, took on such great urgency that nothing mattered more to them. They were single-minded in their desire, and they couldn't comprehend anything better than the high that they were chasing. They were convinced that they had found the meaning of life. Their spiritual searches had been replaced with physical, emotional wants. And the hardest lesson for them to learn was that their wants could be replaced by a search. That's what I find in the parable this morning. The contrast between a life of wanting and a life of seeking. Wanting comfort, moral certainty, anesthesia from the pain of living. Certainty is not just an illusion. It's an idol to self-destruction and division. I'm guessing that the victim of the assassination last week and the perpetrator of that horrid evil both believed they had certainty on their side. Seeking is a life spent curious, not having answers, of finding God alive inside of us and offering us joys too great to measure. Yeah, we are like sheep searching for God, sometimes with a bucket on our head. We are like a woman searching for one lost coin, sometimes in the dark. We are like the people of Israel, freed from slavery, liberated from their captors, walking with God towards their new home, and forgetting who God is. Constructing a golden calf, worshiping what was made in their image. Be in the search. The never-ending search for God. For only in that search will we find purpose, meaning, mercy, and justice. Only in that search will we find our true identity in a little piece of bread and a sip of wine shared with others who are on the same search with you. In the name of God, amen.